One, two, three,
Steve Young. Steve Young. Steve Young. Steve Young. He was hanging down in Tampa Bay. The wall said, I like your style, won't you come and play?
Bro.
You beat a scrambler.
Scrambler.
Bro. And you're pesky.
Scrambler.
Bro. Can you continue? Our dynasty.
Scrambler.
He said, yeah, 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 yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Bro.
I can't read the billboard when this is on.
Really?
Kill the
Steve
billboard.
Young.
Kill the song. What are the songs?
Steve Young.
Steve, how you doing?
Bro. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, the knuckleheads, the 49 knuckleheads, give them some credit. I mean, no, who did that? I don't even know who did that. That's bad.
The guy that...
going back to the Super Bowl shuffle of the Bears, has there anything ever been associated with football and music that's ever been any... I mean, come on, you know, it's not good. It's not
the Brian song. I think the theme, the Brian song.
Good call. Good call. So you always got to, way to take the air out of the balloon. Okay. So much for that conversation.
I'm sorry if I come up with a good answer. I came up with Charles Haley the other day, and there was a stone silence.
Dead air. Next?
Steve is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision and paint repair. And what is. Today, what if today is the day for a new Toyota? I butchered that. Right now is your chance to save thousands on a new Toyota. But, I mean, isn't any time the time to save thousands on a new Toyota? Obviously. All right, Steve. So
taking liberties, ad-libbing with the intro.
Ad-libbing.
No more Toyota ads. I'm sorry. It's over.
It's over. What do you mean it's over?
It's over. It's over. It's no more. 15 years. It was great.
Good really?
Time. Yep.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of sad. I mean, there's a lot of good friends. I mean, we've had it a long time. I've never heard anything like that where a guy sticks around and does that for. It's been fun. A lot of fun. We should do a docudrama on all the ads. They've been pretty good.
Brian will come up with a montage.
Do 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 do. What a bummer. I can't even make it through the show now. What the hell?
I know.
All right, let me regroup.
I know you look forward to the new releases every year.
Absolutely. So. There's no question I do.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. I have to point something out to Steve. I know he laced him up, but he doesn't have the insight sometime that you have if you're sitting back and watching. That's why I said Packers, yes. And Steve wanted to pull the trigger. He wanted to pull the trigger, but he got too bogged down in stats and about what Atlanta had done at home and this, that, and the other thing.
No, I didn't.
And the Packers just kicked their ass.
Bring up the tape. I said they will fall behind because of fatigue. Do they have what it takes to come back? Well, we saw what Aaron Rodgers has got. That guy's phenomenal.
Tom, you remember that part of the tape?
I remember
that. Quarterback-driven.
Yes.
That's quarterback-driven right there. This playoffs for this guy, I mean, this team is okay. They're a good team, but he's doing things that are like, you know, the Brady kind of stuff when he's hot and Manning. I mean, he's you see some of those throws? Look right and throw a dart 45 yards down. I mean,
pretty amazing.
Pretty cool stuff.
No, and the ability to escape the pressure and the one thing, and you know, we mention this all the time, but I think it bears repeating again, is that you don't see a lot of quarterbacks in the league that have the confidence, the wherewithal to be able to slide, move, avoid pressure, and still keep their head down the field. So when something does pop open, they can see it. A lot of times you see the quarterbacks drop, the head goes down, and then there could be guys running free, but they're looking at their sneakers right now, so they can't get those guys. And by the time they do look up, those guys are now covered because the defense isn't going to let them run free forever. There's not a lot of Brady, Manning, Breeze, those guys. I mean, it's amazing. They just kind of feel it, slide here, slide there, and it's like, boop, gotcha. You're going to get me occasionally, but I'm not gonna let the pressure get to me to where I can't find my guys.
You bring up a great point. As a quarterback, you can tell how far a guy is along for how long his eyes stay up and downfield. And I mean literally from the huddle. guys that are completely overwhelmed, they're just starting out, they call the play, their eyes go completely right to the ground because their brain is running so fast they don't know what they're doing. Most quarterbacks' eyes drop at the snap because that's just a natural time to kind of turn, and then they relocate afterwards, but there's a split second where they just drop their heads. And you got some guys that literally never, from the time that they call the play to the when the play is over, lose sight of who they're actually attacking. And, that's an easy way for people to – I mean, if you can ever get a quarterback's eyes, you watch for those momentary lapses where the brain is overwhelmed, and your eyes will not stay straight downfield taking in more information when your brain's overwhelmed.
It's largely true with boxers, too, fighters.
Yeah, your brain.
A guy who has his eye on the opposition, if you're looking down. But, I mean, what about – how – have you ever seen Brady like that, Steve, where he was back there with great protection for – 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, and he can't find anybody?
You had to figure that what Rex Ryan did to Bill Belichick is he Belichicked him. And through the years, and it took me a long time to figure this out, I didn't know about the taping of the thing. That tells me a lot about why we struggle against Belichick defenses. But also, we always knew that what his theory is, I'm going to maul anyone who crosses the line of scrimmage from a defensive standpoint, so that, you know, and it's going to be a pain, it's a penalty. But he knows, like everyone knows, that the backfield judge is only going to call 5 holds a game. He's not going to call it every down. He might say he's knock it off, but you're going to hold him every down. And so what he does is that's how he disrupts timing, so that he creates a pass rush by disrupting timing. So then you knew that others try to do the same thing, exactly what the Jets did. He was patting the ball as if he usually is on the sideline watching the other team do that to his Patriot defense do that to him. That's what happened. He had to pat the ball because they had pretty much disrupted all the timing. No one could get into the middle of the field. They just mauled everyone at the line of scrimmage. And you saw a couple of holding calls, but not a ton. And it was really a masterful job by the defense of the Jets.
Man, you look at what I was telling Ralph that earlier, Steve. Usually that team is all about middle of the field. I mean, Gronkowski will stretch the field a little bit, and Hernandez, but and Tate. But for the most part, it's Welker, it's Branch, it's Edelman, guys coming across the middle, Hernandez as well. And it seemed to me that the Jets just said, you know what, if you're going to run the ball a little bit, go ahead and run the ball a little bit. But we're not letting Brady beat us, and we're certainly not going to let him beat us in the middle of the field. If you can beat us outside the hashes, then you know what? You're going to beat us outside the hashes, but you are not beating us in the middle of the field, because Patriot games usually are all about crossing routes, picking up those key third downs, you know, getting the mismatches they want in the middle of the field. They got none of that.
And then they miss that threat outside, because to your point, at some level, defensive coordinator is going to say, you know what? We might lose, but Danny Woodhead's not going to beat us, and Wes Welker's not going to beat us, and a rookie tight end's not going to beat us. You want to beat us, and I think that's what happened. You basically broke down the meeting after they had beaten the Indianapolis Colts and came home on the plane, as they met probably on the plane trying to get a game plan together, saying, okay, you know what? He throws for 400 yards outside the numbers, then good luck to him. You know, our two corners will stand up generally, but those guys coming over the middle, they're not going to get off the line of scrimmage. They're going to get rerouted, and they're going to get off, because that's what Tom does. That's what Peyton does. He uses that space in there, gets his receivers on the, you know, I hate the word same page, but you know, they know exactly what they're going to do against certain defenses, and they react faster than even the defense. You're covered, but because you react faster and get the ball out quickly against zone, you get the ball completed, and then you start to kind of work against the defense, and they start to give up, and then you get the big play. And that's because they didn't get started. They never got off the ball. They never got into those zones. They decide, and I thought, is it that hard to figure out? But they actually have the personnel to pull it off.
So do they have the personnel to – they pulled it off with Manning and with Brady. Can they do it again with Roethlisberger?
No, because Ben literally looks to extend the play. I mean, it's amazing how big that guy must be, because he has no fear.
He's about 6'5", 260.
Dude,
I think he's 260.
Lineman, mm-hmm. Yeah, any defensive lineman that comes free, I think Ben kind of says, yeah, so I stiff arm him. Then
really, well, you used to do that, didn't you?
But even when they knock him down, he kind of like, goes down reluctantly, like, oh, I guess I should go down. You know, he's like the Lilliputians trying to pull out. Like, oh, I guess I've got enough rope. I gotta go down. And so I think that because he extends the play so effectively, that's when he's really good. I mean, the defense keeps him in all these games, and then he extends enough plays, he actually pulls it off. I think he's in the pocket on time. Is an average quarterback, but after the play kind of breaks down, he's phenomenal. So I think for the Jets, that's not Tom Brady. It's just the opposite. And so I think with how, you know, in free agency, we've watched now, and I think I see the cycle. I keep forgetting, but then by the end of the season, I'm like, geez, why do I keep forgetting this? The cycle is no matter who you are, even the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, there's a cycle to free agency where in September and October, you're kind of finding your legs, you're kind of figuring things out, and you get to the end, and that's when you really judge who's good. And look at who's really good defense at the end of the season. And I really believe the Steelers, despite, if you had asked me in September, what do you think of the Steelers defense? Well, they're okay. They're pretty good. I mean, they're above average. They're good. I think they've become phenomenal through the, you know, as they've worked together through the year. And the reason why I say post-free agency, because free agency shakes up the thing every year. And so I think they're walking into a buzzsaw with this defense. I do not see the Jets having the ability to do even what the Ravens did last week.
Well, the Ravens could easily have won. They called back a punt return for a touchdown. They gave them five downs to get in.
Well, you're not going to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh playing three quarters. You know, you can't take a quarter off and just do zero.
So you like Pittsburgh then?
Well, they spotted them 14 points in a tough divisional playoff game and an interdivisional rivalry. You spot them two touchdowns, essentially, at halftime, 21-7, and you've given them 14 of them. You're probably going to get beat. They came back from a two-touchdown deficit by just completely shutting down. The Ravens did nothing. Just zero. You know, when you come out of halftime, you're going to do zero. Not we're going to run the ball a little bit now, throw some passes and punt. No, zero. You know, and I think that they dictated some things that, do you think that they'll screw up again that way? Mendenhall fumbles again. I think they clean that up and play better. And I can't see the Jets keeping up with that one.
Actually, the Ravens would have been better off kneeling on the ball three times every possession and punting it.
So true.
Because they did less than zero. If they'd have done zero, that may have been good enough to win the game. They should have
abdicated. They should have just said, look, don't punt. We'll just give you a fresh pair of downs.
Right? Back you up 30 yards every time. You can have the ball if you want.
Don't punt. We'll just give you a fresh set for a little while we figure out what to do.
That was a weird thing about that game, though, Steve, is that you get the Redding walk-in touchdown. You get Mendenhall fumbling at the 15-yard line. Then when Flacco fumbles a snap, I want to say that was inside their own 30. The pick was returned inside the 30. The Ray Rice fumble was right around the 30-yard line. There wasn't like turnovers on the other team's end where they had to drive, or turnovers at midfield where they had to go. The turnovers, all the turnovers are right there on the doorstep. And usually you see a game with turnovers. Five was a little extreme for a playoff game, but every turnover was like, okay, here you have the ball. You're already in field goal range. Go ahead. And every time the team took advantage.
The Ravens have got to just be so upset because they went in and really did carve that out at halftime. And I think the Ravens, I always thought the Ravens were going to go. I think the Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers are the best teams in the league. And I think that Pittsburgh just won the Super Bowl, essentially, if you kind of think, if I'm right, they've won the Super Bowl that was played last weekend and now need to go beat some other teams to actually get the trophy.
You know, Green Bay is actually the betting favorite of the four teams right now.
That's fine, and I think Aaron Rodgers is – I mean, it really is dictated by the fact that Aaron is just doing so much so well. But, you know, at these upper echelons, can you do that yourself? And I know that I'm not disregarding what the Packers are doing defensively, because tactically the 3-4 really have kind of come into their own, and they really do confuse people and do a good job of it and have some great players. But, you know, I think Aaron's going to have to do something special this weekend and then you go, you play the Super Bowl and you play Pittsburgh. You know, obviously if Pittsburgh gets beat, then it's anybody's game.
What about how is Cutler going to be able to do?
I think Jay Cutler can take this team through the Super Bowl, but he's got to do it. He can't throw. First, we got to eliminate the zero touchdown, four interception, bonehead once a month thing he had going. We can't have that, of course. That's obvious. But we also can't have the more palatable Jay Cutler, the 15 of 29 for 210 and a touchdown and one interception. That's not going to get it done either. So it's in my mind, Jay Cutler is going to have to do it. You know, and he's done it, but it's been erratic. And, you know, people hate. I've been getting all this heat because I've been saying that his footwork and his eye level is lousy. There's fundamentals that he is really lousy at, that if he just, you know, put the time in and dedicated himself to, he could be as good as anybody, but he just won't. And so he just plays that loosey, fancy free, hey, I fly it around. That's fine. They got a lot of talent. You get away with it, and you win some games. But here we are, two games from the Super Bowl, and I hope he can pull off two more games and be an all-timer. But I think that comes back to get him.
Well, he still made some throws in that Seattle game. I told Ralph that one. They're up 7-0, and he just threw it right into the guy's gut. I mean, it was one of those throws where it's
he would have waltzed for seven. He would have gone 100 with that one.
I mean, there were like four throws in the first half that were, oh, and he got away with them, and the numbers looked really good. And I'm not going to say he didn't play well because I think he did. And I think Earl Thomas must have a hole in his hand just about the size of a football because there's no way there's no way he missed that ball. That was a sure knockdown, possibly a tip it up, and somebody picks it off, and he just whiffed on it. But there was still
Tom,
four or five throws in that game where I thought,
He leads the league in dropped interceptions.
Does he really?
I promise you, even when he plays well, it's because somebody's dropped two or three. Go back to this year if you want to really. I mean, I can't speak for every game, but a half a dozen games that I saw that he played well, he still didn't play well. I mean, he still had things went his way. So maybe we should say the Packers have to drop three interceptions for the Bears to win.
Maybe that's why he throws it so hard. He figures, you know, if I throw it really hard, I may not complete it, but the chances of them intercepting it are a lot less.
That's called we used to have the I formation play where we got the back would go over short, tight end about 12 yards, a deep over by the receiver, and you said, figure, hey, you know, there's three guys right down the middle, just whip it as hard as you can. hopefully it hits somebody.
You know, Steve, you're probably the wrong guy to ask about this.
Very intricate play.
You have more patience and restraint than most other people that I know. But if you get three or four drops in short order in critical situations, have you ever been tempted or have you ever said, good Lord, just catch a damn ball, will you? I mean, have you ever let it out like that or no?
Yeah, I think it's you're a fool if you don't put things in context, right? There's certain guys that they actually want to get yelled at, you know? They want to hear it. Yeah, you screwed it up. They actually respond well to that. There's other guys, you do that to them, they're done. They're finished. They start to pull out and they're finished for the day. So you got to be careful. And so I guess your real question is, did I ever just let it rip regardless? Because I got so mad.
So frustrated.
I don't care. I got so frustrated I didn't care. You know what? No, because the truth is, I can't remember. I mean, we just had a great group of guys, a great ham. I mean, Brent never dropped money. I mean, if I.
Well, what about in Tampa?
Well, you remember, I'm young. You know, I'm just trying to make my way, you know. And so it's like, all I wanted in Tampa was people to quit smoking in the locker room at halftime. I was hoping that somebody would block, you know, maybe the outside linebacker who would come free. It was really, I was looking for minimal things there. Catching the ball was down the way. I mean, I was like, look, if you caught the
block
ball.
Block the linebacker and don't smoke.
Yeah, don't smoke and block the extra unblocked linebacker. Then if you caught the ball, I thought that was a huge bonus.
Well, here's the thing, because I think anybody gets frustrated, but I would be more frustrated if I were a quarterback if the guy wasn't making the proper side adjustment, or I felt like he didn't study enough and he didn't know what the game plan was and he was running the wrong routes. Because I think if you yell at a guy for dropping the ball, then you better be 100% the rest of the game. You better not throw a wayward ball when the guy's open. Because and it's not like the guy – because I always hated the point guard. They got bitter at me for missing a shot when he made a great pass. I'm like, what do you think you think just to spite you, I'm trying to make shots. I'm trying to make myself look good. I'm trying to help the team win. I'm not doing this on purpose because I don't like you. So you know what?
That's what I mean. You should be able to understand that, of course. But have you ever just said, I don't care if I should be able to understand it. We're losing the game. He just dropped a pass that hits you between the numbers.
Tom makes a great point, though, because the thing that was the most frustrating was when, to your point, you know, you had a deep comeback at 18 yards, and you don't come out of the break, right? You kind of I'm not getting the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and so then you let the comeback go, and the corner breaks on it because you didn't do anything, or the slant where you get bump and run, and you've got to come inside because that's the job. You can't all of a sudden get stopped inside and then put your hand up outside like, oh, throw it here. The ball's gone. Bro, the ball's gone. It's in the guy's chest. You know, it's like I count on you to come inside because, look, this is going to be tough possession, but, you know, it's 3rd and 3, and, it's coming. You know, don't not get inside and throw your hand up and go, hey, bro, I'm open. That doesn't work.
I always love those guys, too, that look at the quarterback and raise their shoulders up like, what? He cut me off? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, bro, you think this is an easy job, man? I tried. Like, hey, man. You want to try somewhere else, Chief.
The Chief. You know he's really mad when he drops the Chief. But
At least he's not broing much.
And I hate the guys, too. I hate that dumb word to use, but they disturb me when you throw, you're going to give your receiver a chance to go get a ball. And they don't go get it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to run for it. I'll try. But the DB's over there clawing and scratching for it. It's like, you know what? If you can't get it, give me an effort to knock it away. They never call offensive PI anyway. Maul the guy, tackle the guy, knock his head off. Do not let that guy pick the ball off.
It's amazing the mental toughness. I don't know exactly how to say this. That it takes to transition from I want the ball, to I'm not going to get the ball. Oh, do something about it. It's like guys can't transition. You tell them after, why didn't you just help me out? You know, just knock it down. And it's like their brain doesn't quite transition to throw me the ball. Oh, I got to play defense. And so it's like when you got a guy that was actually alert enough and aware enough to do that, you would take more chances because then you knew that, hey, this is, if I get in a jam, he'll make the transition from, it's like, what was that that movie? Squirrel. You know, it's like, hey, transition, you know?
Squirrel, ball.
Ball, defense. So it's like you got to, and my wife says that's men in general. They can't transition, you know? Squirrel, ball.
If you get the guy that can't transition, just scream at him. Anyway, what about the media event, of course, of the week was the Al Davis press conference. Did you happen to see any of that or read any of it?
I read the reports.
Basically, he just ripped cable and brought up all kinds of dirt and spent about 10 minutes talking about Hugh Jackson, the new coach, and then went on to cable.
it's good theater. I wish he whole. You know what? Honestly,
he mentioned you too. You got mentioned in there.
That was great. I appreciate it. It's great. I mean, and then look. Don't ever take away from the tremendous history and all he means to football. Just don't take that away. But how many days in a row would you tune in to see that a press conference by Al Davis? Would it be a week or two? You'd watch it for a while, yeah?
It was standing room only because he only speaks every two or three years. Of course you'd go.
If you had a show, every day and he did one, I think people would watch it for a while.
It wouldn't be good every day. The main reason they want to watch him is because he's never on the air. So it's been 2.5 years since the last time and 2 or 3 years before that.
Just don't, in the press conference, don't have him come up in his mind in a negative light for you because it's coming out.
He had 6 coaches in the last 8 years.
Hey,
call Paul Comey out? Someone told me he did something funny.
He'd stand up and ask a question, and Tim would say, Tim Kawakami, San Jose Merck. Who? Who? All right,
Tim would say, yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead. Who? What do you got for me? Oh, my gosh. It is awesome.
Kim kept talking about Kim Newton.
The great Kim. Not Lil' Kim. Just Kim Newton. Hey, we're running short. So who we got? We got Pittsburgh and the Packers?
I got Pittsburgh and the Packers.
He actually picked Atlanta last time.
Remember, no, he picked Atlanta.
I didn't, No, I don't think I did.
Well, maybe. We'll take the tape. I know what you said. Here's what I thought you said.
He didn't say yes.
I know.
He was couching it in case just this happened.
I know. Here's what I remember. Here's what I remember. I remember you distinctly saying that you thought Atlanta would get out early because Green Bay would be fatigued from coming off the Philadelphia game and three games on the road.
Do they have the wherewithal?
Or two games
back
on the road. Yeah, exactly. And I got to be honest. I want to say if I had to say you were leaning. I thought you maybe were leaning Atlanta, but I don't remember you actually making a prediction on that game one way or the other.
Don't check the tape. I was leaning Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, and what about Rivero? I know we got to run, but real quick, is it easy for Aaron Rodgers? You've been to the playoffs. You won the Super Bowl. How easy is it to stay in that zone? I mean, it's a different defense. It's a different climate. You're going outdoors now. The wind's probably going to be whipping 15, 20 miles an hour. I mean, is it difficult?
It's hard because of the weather. The weather is, and anyone says that, because your whole offense kind of changes, timing changes. It becomes more of a pure athletic event. You know, it's not as much tactical. You lose a little bit of that. And they're on a tactical high right now. If they played in the Super Bowl right now, you'd have to say prohibitive favorites because you know it's going to be a decent day. You know it's going to be a nice field. You know it's going to, you know, that kind of thing. But once you lose that weather, then it becomes more of an athletic event, purely just talent, who can beat one-on-one, that kind of thing. And I think that hurts the Packers a little bit, to be honest with you.
So Packers and Pittsburgh, we're on the record there.
Did I? Yeah. Packers and Pittsburgh.
Packers,
lock
Pittsburgh, and Jimmer Fredette.
Unless the fix is in.
Hey, real quick, if you have BYU happen to make a Final Four, would you go watch them play?
Oh, I have to.
You would?
BYU basketball making the Final Four with a guy like that? Yeah, you got to go to that one.
Love Jimmer Fredette. Great name. Yeah, I think it is a great name. I'm just not sure who. Do you think somebody messed that up? Like they were like on narcotics, just had Jimmer, and they were meant to write Jimmy, and the R came out like a Y
Mormon?
Came out like
they're
a.
Not a narcotics. Is
no,
Mormon?
No. It's not a Mormon name. It's not nothing I've ever heard of. The only time I figure when you got a weird name, it's probably because when you were born, your older brother couldn't say it right, you know, and so that became your name, you know.
So you're thinking his given name isn't Jimmer.
Like, yeah, Maureen, and it's Moe, and then that just sticks in the family. Then pretty soon it's.
Yeah, but you know what happens. You remember the defensive back for Philadelphia, wasn't it Breanard Wilson?
Yep.
You remember him, Steve?
Yeah.
Yep.
He spelled his name Brenard. You can't tell me his parents just didn't screw that up. They tried to spell Bernard and they ended up spelling Breanard. I think that happens to a lot of people.
Antoine Jameson, W before the A, but he goes by Antoine, not Anton. I guess it's A before the W. Anyway.
Well, yeah, no, if you're the Youngs, you name your youngest child and then put it in, take a week, have the hospital say, you've got to name your child. We're back and forth. Fill out the papers on the way out of the hospital, one name, and the next day decide, no, we want to change it. and so our little Lila is actually Kaylin in the record. So, I mean, you know, it's like we're really messed up.
Very nice. All right, Steve, always a pleasure, and we will look forward to doing it next week. And Brian has some real quick sound for you before we let you run. Go ahead, Brian.
This is a tough one for Green Bay. You go on the road, tough environment, it wears you out. Not just playing on the road, but the noise and the fatigue, and then you got to go home on a six-day turnaround and go to Atlanta, another essentially two dome games in a row.
Okay, so that, like he said, it was a lean. There was no star-rated selections there, but it was a lean toward Atlanta, and that's what Steve said.
Atlanta was horrible. What happened?
Well, nice throw at the end of the half. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're really going to throw that ball at the end of the half? And that's they would have never. Look, Green Bay was going to score 40 in that game regardless because they were on fire offensively, but. That's the play you're going to come out with, one foot off the wrong foot, and try to sidewind it in there to the sidelines. I mean, come on.
That's the worst throw of the year.
I love Green Bay, but I'm worried about Chicago.
It's an emotional pick, to be honest with you, because covering the Bears when I was up in Minnesota, great locker room, great defense, getting better and better and better. And unless Jay does something really goofball in those conditions, you know, but I just – You know, I always go for the quarterback that I think is better, and I think that he's on a hot roll. I mean, I think it is. I think the Packers win in Green Bay, and I think it's a toss up at home. I mean, in Chicago.
All right, Stevie. Thanks again for being on with us. We always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see what will happen.
Doo, doo, doo.
Oh yeah, Steve, you still there? Steve, you gone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are we still supposed to buy Toyotas or not?
What's that?
Are we still supposed to buy Toyotas or not?
Well, I think our show is sponsored by Toyota, but they're not. They're done with the commercials.
Well, as long as the show is sponsored, we're gonna definitely recommend Toyota. So.
Bro,
brother.
Okay, good. We got it.
Take it easy, Steve.
See you, boys.
All righty.
Save thousands on a new Toyota today.